Men, do you know what dad is? Today is the 12th anniversary of 9/11. Anybody else know what dad is? It is. The first anniversary of Benghazi, Libya. And as important as those dates are to remember, I'm going to talk about something today that I think has, well, I know has, eternal significance, and it matters to God. I'm going to talk about marriage. Been there almost 61 years, so I think I can talk about it a little bit. I want to talk about why marriage matters. And the reason it matters, it was the first institution established and blessed by God. It is the oldest institution, civilization. Then why is it under attack so much as it is today? Marriage has been a foundation of America since our founding, as most of you know. So it can be hard to know exactly where to start in explaining why it does matter. But things long ago assumed are now being questioned. That's why it's important to be prepared, men, to talk with friends and family and neighbors about how redefining marriage would be bad for all of us. No matter where you fall on the political spectrum, everyone who believes that marriage is between one man and one woman must stand up, speak out, and spread the word. Lawmakers and citizens alike should know and share the answers to these three questions. Number one, what is marriage? Number two, why does marriage matter to the government? And number three, what are the consequences of redefining marriage? What is marriage? Marriage brings a man and a woman together as husband and wife to be father and mother to any children that their union produces. Marriage is based upon the biological fact that reproduction depends upon a man and a woman and the reality that children need a mother and a father. Marriage is the building block of all of our culture. Marriage is the building block of all human civilization. Marriage has public as well as private purposes. For decades now, marriage has been weakened by our culture of convenience. This demotes marriage to little more than emotional intensity and legal privileges. Why does marriage matter to the government? I suggest, men, that government recognizes marriage because it's an institution that benefits society in the way no other institution can. Marriage ensures the well-being of children. When government recognizes marriage, it protects children by encouraging men and women to commit to each other and to take responsibility for their children. Government recognizes, protects, and promotes marriage as the ideal institution for having and raising children. Promoting marriage, guys, doesn't ban anything. Adults are still free to make choices about their own relationships and do not need government permission to do so. Well, what are the consequences of this group trying to redefine marriage? Well, redefining marriage in the state of Indiana would hurt children, first of all. Decades of social science, including very recent and robust studies, show that children simply do better when raised by a married mom and dad. Secondly, redefining marriage would further separate marriage from the needs of children. It would deny, as a matter of policy, the ideal that a child needs a mom and a dad. Government would be forced to intervene more often than they do now, and welfare programs would even become larger than they are now. Redefining marriage would put a new principle into the law, that marriage is whatever emotional bond the government says it is. And redefining marriage has other consequences. It would push out the traditional view of marriage, leading to the erosion of religious liberty. Citizens in Canada and right here in Massachusetts and Washington, D.C. are seeing this happen as we sit here today. Well, hasn't divorce already harmed marriage so much that we're trying to preserve? There's no doubt that the high rates of divorce and unwed childbearing have led to heartache and difficulty. But the question before us now is whether to reinforce those mistakes or begin to restore the marriage culture in our state. Redefining marriage would make marriage about adult desires, not the needs of children, about adult emotional satisfaction, not a permanent and exclusive union of a man and a woman, intended for childbearing and rearing. We should rebuild and restore marriage, not undermine or redefine. Well, didn't the 2000 election prove that America is shifting more toward embracing same-sex marriage? Not at all. Not at all. Across the country, when the argument is made for marriage, citizens do stand up. Three liberal states voted in 2012 election to redefine marriage. But 41 states, as we stand here, define marriage as a union of a man and a woman. North Carolina voted overwhelmingly in that state. They chose to keep the biblical definition of marriage. Even in the presidential year, marriage outperformed the Republican presidential ticket by sizable margins in each state where it was on the ballot. Factor in the fact that pro-marriage groups were outspent nearly 4-1. Well, shouldn't same-sex partners get benefits like other people? Men, we can address specific concerns through specific policies without redefining marriage. A major argument for redefining marriage is to ensure that people can leave their assets they want to anybody they want to without paying inheritance taxes or estate taxes. Guess what? You don't have to pay them anymore anyway. The state of Indiana has eliminated estate taxes retroactive to January 1. You can leave all your assets to a stranger, he or she will not pay a dime of taxes. Unless your estate's over $5,025,000, you will pay no federal estate taxes. So, most of us are going to fit into this category of under $5,000, except for a few of your lawyers out there. Well, shouldn't these same-sex people get benefits like other people? We can address, as I said a moment ago, these problems with specific policies without redefining marriage. We can resolve specific questions and problems with specific policies. We should have a sound tax policy, and we're on the road to doing that, as well as a sound marriage policy. And that means recognizing marriage as between a man and a woman. Well, why do you want to interfere with love? Can't we just live and let live? I've heard that before, and you probably have as well. Marriage laws don't ban anything, guys. They define marriage. In all 50 states, people of the same sex can, number one, choose to live together. Number two, choose to join a religious community. And number three, that blesses their relationship. And three, choose a workplace offering them benefits. And some are already doing that in the state of Indiana. Are you saying that gay parents can't love and provide for a child? Guys, all people are capable of love. But all the love in the world can't change a mother into a father or a father into a mother. A child needs a man and a woman, a mom and a dad. Children do better when raised by their married mom and dad. And decades of social science has proven that. We should not place the desires of some adults over the needs of children. But what does the research say? The latest, contrary to what you've heard in our reading, and it's hard to pick up a newspaper and turn on television or pick up a magazine these days without this discussion going on. And for the most part, our liberal media is saying, what's wrong with redefining marriage? Well, let's talk about statistics. The latest and most comprehensive research continues to confirm what social science has shown for decades of time. Children do better when raised by a married mother and father. The new family structure study by Mark Rigneris of the University of Texas, Austin, and a report based on the census data recently released in the highly respected demography journal supported this idea. We can't get away from it. Well, isn't denying same-sex couples the freedom to marry the same as a ban on interracial marriages? No. Racism kept the races apart, and that's a bad thing. Marriage unites the two sexes, and that's a good thing. Marriage must be colorblind, and it is, but it cannot be genderblind. Men and women, regardless of their race, can unite in marriage. And children need moms and dads, regardless of their race. Well, why doesn't government just get out of the marriage business altogether? Marriage, men, is society's best guarantee of a limited government that stays out of our families' lives. Intact, enduring marriages are society's best tool for ensuring that children are born into stable, caring families that will care for, educate, and train those children to be good people and good citizens. If mothers and fathers do not fulfill the responsibility for caring for the children they create, then third parties and government steps in. In situations where families have broken up due to divorce, government involvement usually increases greatly. A study by the left-leaning Brookings Institution found that between 1970 and 1996, $229 billion in welfare expenditures could be attributed to social problems related to the breakdown of the marriage. By promoting strong, intact marriages, the government actually reduces the role it would otherwise play in fulfilling these social functions. Men, it's in the interest of children, spouses, and the public to promote strong and lasting marriages. Well, why shouldn't everybody just be free to love whoever they want to love? What's wrong with that? Everybody is free to love who they want to love. But no one is entitled to redefine marriage for all of us. Every marriage policy must draw lines of what constitutes marriage and what doesn't. Policymakers must draw lines based upon principle. For example, our current marriage policy says that a person cannot marry someone else who's already married or a close blood relative, regardless of love. And current policy is also based on the idea that marriage is fundamentally rooted in the union of one man and one woman. If that principle is removed, there's no consistent agreement for stopping anyone who wants to redefine marriage. Two men and a woman? Incest? Polygamy? There's no stopping point. Well, isn't same-sex marriage inevitable? And I say no. The vast majority of the states affirm that marriage is between a man and a woman. The future isn't fixed, obviously. That's why we have to be diligent. But Americans should be free to write their own history, not have them dictated to them by our courts. The voters in the state of Indiana should have the opportunity to choose, and we should choose marriage as the union of one man and one woman. What does Scripture say? Now, these are my ideas. Let's see what God has to say about the first institution He established and blessed. And the Bible is replete with verses that confirm what I'm going to share with you, a couple of verses in the Old, a couple of verses in the New. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of likeness of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Genesis 2, 23 and 24. Then Adam said, this creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united, cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Matthew 9, 19:5. For this reason a man leaves his father and mother and shall be united firmly, joined inseparably to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in honor, men, esteemed, worthy, precious, of great price, and especially dear in all things. And thus let the marriage bed be undefiled, kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulteress. Why is it imperative, men, that Christians accept the biblical definition of marriage? That should be a no-brainer, but in some cases it's not. But I say for the men in this room, the Bible speaks on this issue several times in both Testaments. And the Bible is inerrant, if you believe the way I believe, and I think most of you believe that the Bible was without error. And we're told over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is inspired by Him and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Does this apply to marriage? Absolutely it does. Now I'm going to talk for a couple of moments about marriage in today's culture. And this is where we live, today's culture. We live in a time when, in which homosexual behavior and many other sexual behaviors outside of God's natural order is not only tolerated, promoted, legally codified, embraced, and celebrated in nearly every way possible. Pro-homosexual marriage law professor Kent Green has said recently, you know, those opponents of marriage equality who said government approval of same-sex marriage might erode the ban on polygamous and incestuous marriage, they are right. As a matter of constitutional rationale, there is indeed a slippery slope between recognizing same-sex marriages and allowing marriage among more than two people and between consenting adults who are related. Polygamous spokesman Anita Wagner said recently, we are grateful to our LGBT brothers and sisters for blazing the marriage equality trail. They know that once society walks away from the logical, time-tested boundary of one man and one woman, there is no stopping them. For decades, men, marriage has been weakened by our culture of convenience. This demotes marriage to little more than emotional intensity or legal privileges. A lesbian journalist recently said and told a radio audience that homosexual groups were lying when they said that redefining marriage would not harm the institution of marriage. She said that it was her desire to destroy natural marriage altogether, saying, and I quote, the institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. She says, I don't think it should exist anyway. Marriage, men, not only benefits children by providing a mother and a father, which all children desperately need. It protects the unborn. Listen to this statistic. 84% of all abortions in this state are performed on unmarried women. For married Hoosiers, few married Hoosiers will ever get an abortion. There's a public and a private purpose for marriage. The public purpose of marriage is to unite men and women and both to their children they produce. Governments recognize marriage because it's an institution that benefits society and children like no other relationship. When marriage declines, government grows, intrudes, and steps in to pick up the pieces. Do we want that? I think not. Throughout history, men, in diverse cultures on every part of the globe, listen to this, governments have understood all around the world that marriage is not just any kind of love. It's a special union of a man and a woman. Still today, 94% of all the countries in the world still recognize a godly marriage, a biblically sound marriage between a man and a woman. Contrary to perception, not one of America's 38 state laws upholding natural marriage were just struck down by the Supreme Court. We who defend natural marriage are not seeking to change anything or to force a new view of marriage upon anyone. Without the fixed standard of one man and one woman, anyone will be able to remold a marriage as if it were silly putty and force their views upon schools, churches, and other institutions. Men, homosexuals in all 50 states can live together, they can buy property together, they can enter contracts, and have their unions blessed by a religious community. But redefining marriage for all of Indiana simply, based simply upon their personal desires, goes too far. Rather than what some may want or feel, the public purpose of marriage should be based upon what we know to be true about the needs of children and society. What are some of the practical reasons for strong traditional marriages? Men, the root cause of angry children and those who seek to belong stems from instability in the home, where typically there's no father, and the mother struggles financially and emotionally. She tries her best, but the odds are against her. If she's attempting to find a suitable male partner, she's likely to have boyfriends in the home who might not have her safety, and security is a top priority. Guess who suffers? Kids, especially boys. Right, Chuck? They rebel against this. Their needs are invalidated, and they lack assurance as they mature into young men. Everyone struggles when dad won't commit to his family. Add drugs and alcohol, and you've got some deeply wounded children. Today in Indiana, another phenomenal statistic, 44% of almost half of every child born in Indiana is born to an unmarried parents. Think about that. Economist Robert Lerman found that mothers with low academic abilities who married saw their living standards rise 65% higher than similar single mothers living with no other adult, over 50% higher than single mothers living with another adult, and 20% higher than mothers who were cohabiting. Marriage Matters, men, is an economic tool as well. As a reduction in complex households, namely boyfriends in and out, so much that the Indiana Black Expo prophetically recommended increased marriage rates in a State of Our Black Youth report. Men, it's time to talk as a community about the lack of parental commitment in creating poverty and stacking the odds against our children. We've tried to avoid it, but it continues to wreak havoc. Please don't, if you forget everything else I've said, listen to what I'm going to say now. People are gathering to claim that passage of the Marriage Protection Amendment, by the Indiana Constitution, or to the Indiana Constitution, next year, next fall, next November, would somehow be bad for business in Indiana. Eli Lilly, Cummings Engine, and the State Chamber of Commerce are already out publicly against us amending the Constitution to say it marriage between a man and a woman. Eli Lilly has already given $100,000 up front to the Aginners, as well as Cummins Engine, and I could go on and on. They do this as a scare tactic, guys, to distract Hoosiers from the real issue of the important role that marriage plays in providing children with a mom and dad. They attempt to pit economic fear against the needs of children and society provided by natural marriage. Natural marriage actually has a number of business benefits. Listen to this. Married men have stronger employment status than cohabiting men. Number two, men's productivity increases by 27% as a result of marriage. Number three, women in intact marriages have a higher income-to-needs ratio than women in any other family structure. Dr. Jennifer Morris of the Ruth Institute notes, and I quote, "The family is absolutely necessary for the market to function. The substitutes to the family are expensive, ineffective, and taxpayers end up paying the price." Men, there's a claim that the 31 state marriage protection amendments create bad business environment. But there are numerous job studies that debunk this exaggeration, or in some cases, lie. U.S. Department of Commerce's Bureau of Economic Analysis ranked states per capita for per capita income growth from 1999 to 2009. 8 of the top 10 states for best personal income growth have passed marriage protection amendments that we're trying to do next year. None have same-sex marriage or civil unions legal in those states. CEO Magazine surveyed 543 chief executive officers, asking them to rank the best and worst states for business and job growth. All of the top 5 have marriage protection amendments. The worst 5 businesses and environment states, hear me out, California, hello, New York, Michigan, my home state, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. By the way, Massachusetts was the first state to allow the unraveling of marriage. Several months ago, Kiplinger Financial Magazine, some of you guys read it, I don't, named the top 10 states for predicted job growth. Every one of the top 5 states have marriage protection amendments. Last fall, CNBC profiled America's top states for doing business using input from the National Association of Manufacturers and the Council on Competitiveness. 9 of the 10 business-friendly states have marriage protection amendments. None have same-sex marriage. Those states with same-sex marriage landed toward the bottom of their business performance data. Men, here are the two sentences, that we're trying to get amended into the Indiana Constitution. Only a marriage between one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Indiana. A legal status identical or substantially similar to that of a marriage of unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. That's it. We know what it will do. We know what it won't do. It won't do what Eli Lilly and Cummins Engine and other activists claim. Men, the real issue here is the future of marriage. It belongs in the hands of you and me, not some well-funded liberal business groups, not misguided politicians, not a couple of judges, and certainly not George Soros in Hollywood. Marriage is for the people of Indiana to decide next November. Guys, I know I've gone over my time. What are some of the consequences of standing tall for this issue? We're going to be called some names: homophobes, bigots, radicals, extremists, narrow-minded. Will we call those names? Will there be lawsuits filed against us? Possibly. Will our churches be picketed if we stand for the truth? Possibly. But as we stand for biblical truths on this issue in these last days, we must, however, men, remember this. Be careful to afford those that disagree with us value, compassion, love, kindness, respect, and dignity. We can disagree and still treat them properly. Hateful and harassing behavior or attitudes directed toward any individual or organization is not pleasing to God. It only serves to give validity to the characterization they have of some Christians. Men, I want to believe that the men in this room, men of Huddle, and the people we influence, and we do, will vote to affirm the biblical definition of marriage for all Hoosiers. Guys, there's a war going on right now in America and certainly in Indiana for the heart and soul of America. As you well know, Edmund Burke said, all that needs for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. The family, men, is the first and the key institution of society, and the overall health of any city, state, region, or nation is determined largely by the health of this bedrock institution. Guys, I'm committed to strengthening and improving God's definition of marriage for all Hoosiers, and I sincerely hope and pray that you'll join me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the last few moments as I've shared my heart. Stumbled, yes, but my heart, I think, came out. Lord, we cannot violate your scripture. The scripture is too replete and full of verses that tell us what you think about a union of a man and a woman. So, Father, I pray that every man in this room, as we go back into our homes, into our communities, into our churches, friends, loved ones, that we will share that we have to fight, Lord, to retain the definition of marriage in the state of Indiana as one man and one woman, even if that means amending our Constitution. Lord, give us grace, give us compassion, give us love, but also keep us true to the book. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.